We get a chance today on the World Cafe to talk with Robert Wyatt. The British musician got his start in the 60s as a drummer for the art rock band The Soft Machine, who were contemporaries of Pink Floyd and part of the nascent music art scene surrounding Cambridge University. Wyatt's musical output changed radically as a result of a fall from a second-story window during a party, which left him paralyzed from the waist down. He has been recording idiosyncratic solo albums since then, including his new one, Comic Opera, which is organized into three acts and features many guest musicians from all over the world, including Paul Weller. I started off by asking Wyatt about the unusual three-part form of the Comic Opera and if he had the form in mind before he began.
No, I don't. I mean, I take the line, like I suppose improvising musicians do, that if you're sort of if you're tuned into yourself right and you're doing something organic, it will have a natural form. If it doesn't feel as if it has, then you probably haven't been doing the right thing. You know, it's like, you know, like a jazz solo, that they don't really quite know what they're going to play, but at the end, if it was any good, it probably had a form. And then if you're then producing your own records, which I do, you look for that and sort of edit it so that that's clear, you know. You make the shape afterwards, in other words.
Right. Now, would that kind of a description work for... I've heard some interesting descriptions on how you actually write songs. Would that work for that as well?
Yeah, I do tend to work sort of backwards from the plan. People tend to start off with plans and then improvise or whatever. I tend to do work backwards. I work from sort of chaos and just let everything in, and then sort of pin down things as they come at me, and gradually build up like that. Yeah.
Well, let's play a piece from the beginning of the album, the part that has love attached to it in one way or another. I wanted to play the duet with Monica Vasconcelos.
Yeah.
This is a beautiful piece. Did you wrote both parts of this and she was just the vocalist?
Well, in fact, the words were written by my wife for me because she was fed up with me drinking and pretending I wasn't. So she wrote a song to sort of tell me, you know, that she wasn't having it anymore. And so then she very kindly wrote, obviously I couldn't sing the accusation, so we got Monica to sing that. And then Alfie very kindly wrote me a reply, which sort of gave me some dignity back. And then we had a song. That's how it worked out.
This is Just As You Are.
It's that look in your eyes, telling me lies, so many promises broken. To love you just as you are. Cause I'm never going to change a thing about you. Never ever going to change a thing.
To love you
just as you should I stay? Should I call it a day? There's so much to say that's unspoken. In your way you've been true. All I can do, try to love you just as you are. Cause I'm never going to change a thing. No, I'll never ever change a thing. Try to love you just as you do. What should
to. I've always loved you just as you are, and I've never tried to change a thing, never tried to change a thing about you.
Just as you are, from Comic Opera, the work of our guest today, Robert Wyatt, and his new album is out on the Hip label on Domino Records. Now, the Iraq War figures on this as it seems to be part of which drives you away from English and to the many different languages and things that happen on the end of it. This is a question I know you've gotten before about how the personal and the political are intertwined in your life, and how would you describe that?
Yeah, well, you know, it's just that, I mean, I don't sit around trying to, you know, either think now I'm going to tackle an issue or now I'm going to go personal. It's just that when you're writing songs, like I say, I'm sort of on automatic. What comes to the surface via the tune is what I go with, and it's all personal, really. I mean, if there's a political issue that upsets me, that's personal, you know. And in the same way, conversely, anything to do with, you know, love and relationships has a kind of universal thing to it, because most people deal with that issue, you know. It works both ways. But I don't sit down consciously and start think I'm going to write about anything, really. I just, things that are in my mind come. And you know how it is. I'm sure it's true of most people that their minds do switch from what am I going to have for dinner to what are we going to do about North Korea, you know, like within 2 seconds, you know. And how am I getting on with my girlfriend or boyfriend? You know, all those things go through your brain in 1 minute, you know. But that's how they get into my records, too.
And how does my boyfriend or girlfriend think about North Korea, you know, and then it goes on.
It does, exactly. You know, in fact, one of the reasons me and Alfie get on so well, it's not because we sit and gaze into each other's eyes, but we sit side by side and watch the world in a way that is not exactly the same, but sort of gives it an extra dimension to both of us. You know, we have a similar take on the way we look at the world, and that sort of company, you know. I mean, in other words, I don't, I'm not, you know, preaching, I'm not evangelizing, I'm not trying to do anything really, except just kind of be less lonely with my thoughts, you know.
Well, I was trying to figure out which song it seems to deal with the war to play, but I thought I would play Mob Rule.
Yeah, and that's about a council meeting, yeah.
But it seems to have, could also be about a larger governmental group.
Absolutely. I think it's partly about how powerful people, I read a theory about how powerful people govern simply by boring everybody into submission, you know, and with their kind of strange arcane rituals and their sort of lifeless rituals of bureaucracy and so on. And it's sort of about that. It's kind of a dry joke, really.
Indeed. This is Mob Rule.
Lands were unveiled, the prison fall. Residents muttered their doubts and fears at me.
Mob Rule from Robert Wyatt's Comic Opera, his new work out on Domino, and a wonderful three-act comic opera indeed. Robert, I wanted to just, we have this great opportunity to talk to you, and there was a number of things about your past I wanted to talk about, and this is going to be the most basic of questions, but what inspired you to get into music in the first place?
I think listening to it. I mean, when I was at school, I wasn't good academically. I enjoyed painting, but the thing that really lit my fire, well, there were two or three things I wanted. You know, I wanted a girlfriend, but I didn't know how you got those. So that had to be put to one side. But what I did have access to was records. And my father had some great records of classical music and other things. But the music that really got to me was listening to jazz, to listening to Duke Ellington and Charles Mingus. I just thought it was the most wonderful thing I'd ever heard. And then I heard sort of Ray Charles and Mose Allison, you know, the kind of vocal stuff that came out of the jazz era. And nothing had moved me like that before, or indeed since. You know, that's, and I just wanted to participate. I love the thing Carl Chater said, I don't care if I don't innovate, I just want to participate. And that's what I felt.
One of your best known works is a cover of Elvis Costello's Shipbuilding that he wrote for you at the time of the Falklands War. I've become curious about the trumpet on his album by Chet Baker. Was that instrumentation inspired by you?
No, not at all. In fact, funnily enough, it may have been inspired by a conversation, because when Costello came around to talk to us about, to get us to go and, well, to take me into the studio to sing the song, he got on very well with both of us, but my wife was a big Chet Baker fan, and they sat around for about an hour talking about Chet Baker, and funnily enough, I mean, I did the cover version before he did his original version,
right?
Actually, really. So we did. I sang to the original demo they made. That's what my record is. Whereas he then went on to do an arrangement by David Bedford, and because of what Costello's like, he likes to get the real thing. He wanted some Chet Baker on there, and got Chet Baker in, which is a great idea, and it was very good that Chet Baker did it. And you know, so but we both have this thing that, you know, we like that trumpet thing, you know. I like it so much I try and do it.
Yeah, when did you start playing trumpet?
Well, I tried playing at school, but I couldn't really read the music, and I didn't like the silly tunes they made us play. And so I left school anyway then. And so that was the end of that. But I always remembered quite liking just the physical fact of making the noise. And about 10 years ago, I just sort of picked one up and just worked out a few scales, and I thought, I could, you know, really nice for me when I'm singing, just to sort of have that as a complimentary sound, you know, weaving in and out of the songs, you know, about 10 years ago.
Well, let's play Robert's version of Shipbuilding. This is Robert Wyatt. Robert Wyatt is our guest on the cafe today, and that's Shipbuilding, for many, certainly in England, one of his best known pieces of music. One of your best loved pieces of music, in kind of a in a very interesting way, is your album Rock Bottom, which was written and recorded in reaction to your accident when you broke your back. And you had to completely re-envision yourself as a musician, playing differently. How did what you envisioned before you actually set about making that differ from what you found that you were capable of?
Well, I really had to, I mean, I had about a year in hospital to think about this. I mean, I'd been working on some of the material for the group I was in, Matching Mole. It was to be the basis of our third LP. But I realized after a few months, I told the rest of the band, look, don't wait for me. I'm not going to be drumming again, when I realized that was the case. And then I started thinking, what am I going to do with this material? And I just sort of thought, well, in a way, that paradoxically, it was quite liberating, because I thought, if I'm not in a group, I can, and I just record, I can do the keyboard part myself and the singing, and maybe I could just sort of get a drummer or hit something, you know, keep time somehow, and then just get maybe a bass player in to do the bass parts, and I could just do it myself. I'd done a bit of that before.
Mm-hmm. What was it? And then when you went to do that, and since you've worked, you've come to play, I mean, so many different things. I mean, you've often had to invent them, the wired phone or whatever, your electronic noises. I mean, I wanted to actually play this wonderful vibraphone piece from the album. Are you always inventing, or is it just you want to solve a musical problem?
Well, I'm really trying to make... I'm just trying to make the kind of records that I would go and listen to, you know, even if somebody else had made them. That's what I'm trying to do. And CDs are a particular challenge because they can go to 60 minutes, which is much longer than a vinyl LP. And so I read it's my thing is to try and keep it kind of keep different things happening right the way through, you know, so that sometimes you can put on an LP or a CD by somebody, and however nice it is, by about the third or fourth track, you more or less know exactly what's going to happen for the rest of the CD. I try to make CDs where you really don't know what's going to happen, you know, till you get to the end, and even then, you're not quite sure what actually did happen.
Absolutely,
that's what I want to make.
Well, I wanted to play. There's so many beautiful instrumentals on this, and I just wanted to give one of them some space, which is. Pastafari?
Pastafari, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm very glad you like that. That's good. Thanks.
It's a beautiful piece. And tell me about how this came together. Did you have the electronics together before the vibes, or how did this work?
No. This works with... there's a musician I know called Orphy Robinson, who is of Jamaican origin. And his wife is Italian, and they have two children, two little boys, and they call them the Pastafarians. And I thought this was so funny. I said, Orphy, have you ever used that as a title? And he said, no, we never thought of that. And I said, well, can I use it? And he said, yeah, go ahead. So this is there's kind of two sides to it. There's a treated and untreated vibes, and it's just my picture of these two little scamps, you know.
This is a really nice piece. This is Pastafari. Pastafari giving play to one of the instrumental tracks that are all throughout Robert Wyatt's new comic opera, and we're just getting a bit of a chance to talk with him today on the cafe. And one of the things I wanted to celebrate, Robert, is the fact that you have become a verb. And I love this. People should know that when you go into bars and clubs nowadays, there are infinite jukeboxes where you can play whatever you want. And the act of playing something that someone thinks that the rest of the patrons won't appreciate has been named in England Wyatting.
My wife said she's going to sue the man who invented it. I'll tell you, he was an English teacher, and so that tells you more about English teachers than about Wyatting. But there you are. So there it is. This is what you do. But I tell you, I wouldn't do it. I would never do that. I'm a very sociable a jukebox player. When I put if I put a record on a jukebox, I would only put one on if I thought the rest of the room would be really happy about it. I've no intention of interfering into people's lives and disturbing. I mean, it's different if they buy my records. I don't care how disturbed they get. But it's I wouldn't be so cruel.
Robert Wyatt, thank you so much for spending time with us today.
It's a pleasure. Thanks very much for the really nice questions.
Robert Wyatt and Comic Opera is his new work. He's our guest today on The Cafe.